At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. Later, we will conduct a question-and-answer session. Instructions will be given at that time. If you should require assistance during the call, please press star then zero. I would now like to turn the conference over to your host, Jackie Matthews. Please go ahead.
Thank you, and thanks everyone for joining us today. This is the media call with State Superintendent Tony Smith, and we're here to talk about competency-based education and the pilot program that the State Board launched with 10 districts in the first cohort, and the second application for the second cohort is open right now. We're going to open up the call with Superintendent Smith talking about why this competency-based education program is important to the State Board and how he sees that fitting into the State Board's goals for college and career readiness for all students. And then we have some representatives from districts who are participating in the first cohort of the pilot, and they're here to tell us about what their designs and implementation of their competency-based education programs look like so far. So on the call, we have representatives from Kankakee School District 111, Ridgewood High School District 234, Rantoul Township High School District 193, Williamsfield Community Unit School District 210, and those four districts will be giving us a little presentation up front, a little overview of where they are. And then we also have representatives from Round Lake Area School District 116 and Proviso Township High School District 209 available for questions at the end. And we'll try to leave as much room for questions as we can. So with that, I will turn it over to Superintendent Smith.
Thank you, Jackie, and thank you everybody for joining today. Really appreciate the opportunity to share some of the wonderful work that's happening around the state, and just kind of go back a little bit. So the State Board is working on the competency-based high school graduation pilot that was started in the Illinois Public Act 990674, otherwise known as the Post-Secondary and Workforce Readiness Act, and that was approved unanimously by the legislature. And we've been working to create the conditions for folks who are in this first pilot to figure out what this looks like in Illinois. And we launched that work really with the belief that we needed to learn from the field and learn with the field. And some of the work that's happening around the country in competency-based education, we needed to learn from that and start a condition to have a conversation nationally. So some of the really important pieces of this work is that it's not about going faster. A lot of people think about, oh, you're trying to accelerate what kids do and get them out of high school faster. Really explicitly, we're talking about deepening their experiences. For some kids, it may mean, in fact, that they finish high school in less time. But for all children, we're hoping that they have more opportunities when they leave high school. Another really important piece of this work is that some people hear competency and they think about a correspondence, like they don't have to be connected to anybody. This is deeply still about community and being connected and making high school both more deeply relevant to the young people that are there and also simultaneously more relevant to community, more connected to real things in the real world. And competency-based education is much more about the demonstration of mastery and understanding than it is about the time a kid spends in a class. So some people talk about seat time. This is much more about, do you understand all the pieces of a carburetor? But can you actually put that together and tune it? Can you design and build a robot in a way that when you program it, it actually does the things that you intended it to do? You may know all the ingredients of a souffle, but can you actually bake it and does it rise? I mean, these are things about demonstration of outcome connected to deep projects, connected to other people. And the folks on the phone have taken this opportunity up to explore this in their own context to create opportunities for children and to really kind of deepen the teaching and learning activities with adults in their buildings. And this is really, honestly, a chance to take off the ceiling. Like we've talked about, new evidence-based funding is creating a common floor and understanding cost factors and what it takes for an adequate education. The competency-based education opportunity is to really explore the horizon and the possibilities of what teaching and learning at its very best could be. And we think that this is one of the most important opportunities to learn from unique, thoughtful leadership in each one of these communities and to have a commitment to Illinois leading the way in competency-based education in the country. And, you know, it's been a pretty remarkable undertaking. The people on the phone have jumped in, and the partnerships and the community practice that's been built is pretty remarkable. And for the media on the phone, I would really encourage you to ask questions in your local community about, you know, what kind of work is happening locally that's already like this, and if people are interested in this, in applying in the second cohort. The second cohort application closes February 16th, so that's part of why we wanted to kind of get this into people's consciousness. The application is on the state board website, isbe.net/competency, so people can go look at that. And we've also requested additional funding to try to support the networks and the learning that's happening, the coaching, the deep practice that's happening in each of these districts, and a way to connect it. So we've asked for $2.2 million to support this. Obviously, there's so much investment that's happening locally, so much respect and appreciation for the folks on the phone, and we're going to transition to hearing from Kankakee to share some of the work that they're doing.
193. Hi, we're a downstate school district, and just kind of a real quick background of our district. We've always had a belief in offering a very diverse curriculum to our student. So we're fairly strong in our career and technical education courses. And so we thought that was really a natural fit as we started talking about this competency work, because really the focus of this competency work has to be on making the learning relevant and making it personal for the students. If you make it personal, it's going to become relevant. And the best way to do that is that we feel is through that the hands-on work that our career and technical ed courses could provide. And also we felt that was the easiest path to creating these real-world experiences that's going to help make the learning relevant. And so one of our main goals as we get into it, and you've heard some of the other superintendents talk about those technical competencies, and so we do that. One of our goals is we have to prepare and be able to assess our students in those competencies that are going to make them successful in the workplace. And that looks very different than a traditional classroom where you're simply focusing on the knowledge, those content standards. Do they have that knowledge? In addition to having that knowledge, they got to have the skills. As Dr. Smith was talking about, it's one thing to know about something, but can you perform and be successful in the workplace? So as we've talked with employers in the area, you know, that's what they've hit on, those technical competencies. Can their employees work with others? Are they culturally competent? Those sorts of things. And so as we focus on our college and career readiness, you know, our belief is that the learning can become very relevant through the career readiness opportunities. And we also think we can hit a lot of our college readiness, our academic standards through our career and technical ed courses. You know, there's a lot of math that a student has to know in order to be able to build a house. And so we're hoping to hit a lot of those through some of this competency work. So just a couple things that we have going on. One was actually started before we started the competency-based pilot project, but fit really well in. And once again, real quick about Rantoul, we are a big part of our town is former Air Force Base. And so there are some housing units out there that do not have adequate, we found out they don't have adequate insulation in the houses. And it's a community of mainly senior citizens. The problem became they were having a hard time paying their bills in the winter. And so they approached us through our career and technical ed courses. And what we designed was a course where the teacher and students went out there. They learned how to, one, figure out heat loss in a house. They had to look at building codes, figure out what could be done, and then really had to develop a project that would address this need. And then at this point right now, actually just last week, they started actually doing the work, going in and re-insulating the houses. That's one project we got going on with this, with the pilot. And then the other one is we're working with John Furr, who's at Northern Illinois University and Economic Development in Rantoul, and then our Director of Public Works, to create a course where it's one of our, once again, one of our career and tech ed courses, where our students are becoming very aware of what public works in town does, because it's really addressing kind of a common need. Public Works realizes that they have an aging employee population. They're going to need people to fill those positions. And our goal is when our students leave here that they're successful citizens wherever they decide to go. And it'd be great if they stayed in the area. So we're looking at developing relationships between the teachers and our public works department. We've kind of created some field trips where the public works have come in, see what we can do in our buildings, and then our teachers have gone out and seen what opportunities there are out there. So mainly with that, we're just looking at creating a pathway through high school that could lead to potential post-high school careers. So that's just some of the work that we've been doing in Rantoul.
Excellent. Thank you so much to our operator, who will lead the question and answer session. And as a reminder, in addition to the four speakers we just heard from, we have Susan Center from Round Lake Area School District 116, and we have Dr. Patrick Hardy from Proviso Township High School District 209. And you can also ask questions of Superintendent Tony Smith, and we have ISBE's Executive Director of Innovation and Secondary Transformation, Mary Reynolds, who's been doing a lot of the pilot work out of ISBE. Operator?
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone. You may remove yourself from the queue at any time by pressing the star key followed by the digit 2. If you're using speakerphone, please pick up the handset before making your selection. Once again, press star 1 at this time. We'll pause for a moment. We'll first hear from Mark Maxwell of WCIA.
Hi, this is a question for Director Smith. We're looking at park scores, which are lagging a lot in Central Illinois. Some of these Central Illinois school districts are falling behind the state average there in park testing. And we're wondering, do we know why that is in this region, and what can we do to turn that around?
So the opportunity here is to really connect and engage with students, and the questions in terms of readiness. So the real power in the assessment of readiness is to ask questions about where are kids going, are they ready for what's coming next, and some of the connections specifically to the competency-based learning is really to build on what kids know and are able to do and help extend that, and it's real a strength-based approach. I think you have obviously, there are some spots in Central Illinois where students have outperformed other students. So there's no kind of generalized geographic performance in terms of the park outcomes. But I think the opportunity to connect here, pretty relevant and deep teaching and learning opportunities. And I do think the more we do this, the more outcomes will improve, and the more students will be ready for what's coming after their K-12 experience.
Anything further, Mr. Maxwell?
Is this, and fill me in on this if there's something else, but yeah, so some parents and people who track this sort of thing would like to see less emphasis on park scores. Is this a shift away from that or more additional to it?
So having a common statewide assessment is really essential to understand both access to opportunity and quality learning experiences, and also being able to have conversations about what our expectations are in terms of how ready our student population is in Illinois for what's coming. So the assessment of readiness is not going away. That is, in fact, with the our accountability system in terms of performance and growth will be based on. But the opportunity to have more and more a broader variety of ways to engage young people and to have teachers engaged with their content expertise and have different ways to demonstrate that during the year, this is another avenue to really, I think, deepen learning opportunities and have kids be able to explore content in different ways.
Thanks.
Operator, can we make sure we have one question at a time from each questioner before we move down the queue?
Yes, absolutely. Next, we'll hear from Dave Dahl of WTAX Radio.
Hello, and thanks for putting on the call. Hopefully this is an easy one for you. I'm trying not to get trapped in jargon. When we say competency-based education, what do we mean? Thank you.
So the issue here, some people have said, is that personalized learning, and I really appreciate you the clarifying piece. It's understanding what the core demonstrated competency is that we're trying to get at. So rather than just looking at a course, it's looking at what do we want kids to know and be able to do and to demonstrate. So the competency is what is most important, not the Carnegie unit or the time that it's connected to in terms of the course schedule. We're really talking about understanding what a student knows how to do and how they've demonstrated that. And we have other superintendents and people leading this work in districts. I'd love to hear how you would like to round that out.
I mean, I basically agree. This is Janera Walter from Kankakee School District 111. I always explain to my staff that, you know, I was a paper pencil assessment kind of kid and I could take a test. However, when I had to apply it, for example, a map, and I have to apply using a map to get to Detroit, very different using a map to get to Detroit versus answering questions on a paper pencil activity looking at a map. So I use my GPS. I was a really strong student, top 10% of my class, but I still am not, don't have competency in using a map to get from one place to another. That's the best example that I can give.
This is Jennifer Kelsall from Ridgewood. I would say when you're looking at this, explaining or describing competency-based education, there are a couple key pieces. We talk about transparency. So when you see a letter grade A, what does that mean? And it means something different to everyone, which is why colleges and universities recalculate GPAs when we give them transcripts. But when you look at competency, you can be very specific on what a student is able to do. And by having those competencies, we're allowed to meet students where they are. So we focus, when most of us went to school, we always talk about how time was constant, right? And learning was variable. You sit in a class for 55 minutes or 40 minutes, and you move on from English down to the hall to science, down the hall to math, whatever the case may be. And now when you look at competency, you really focus that learning is constant. You give students the opportunity to learn at their pace to help them fill in gaps when they need it or move ahead when they don't. And then you don't have to focus on every student needing X amount of time to do something. So you're being more transparent. Everyone knows, the student, the parent, the college, the school, what a student is able to do and what they've mastered and what they're still needing help with. At the same time, you're helping students with skills that our career, in their careers, they're going to need. When you can talk, when a student can articulate how they learn best and how they got their solution and how they can collaborate and be creative and innovative, those are all the pieces that the professionals are telling us that students need. So when you look at competency-based education, we're actually able for the first time to be so transparent and let people know and celebrate where their child is and where they still need to go. I think that's a big difference. And that's hard for people to understand because we've spent the last 100-plus years looking at sorting kids and giving them in little silos of A, B, C, D, and content areas. Now we're able to really focus on that application, project-based learning. You take a real-world problem you want to solve, and you learn your math, your science, your English all through that experience, and then you can determine what the student knows and still needs support on, rather than giving them a letter grade.
This is Scott Amario from Rantoul. The only thing I would add to that, just to everyone else's comments, is really that this competency work, what we're doing. So what we want to know from all of our students is, what do students know and what are they able to do? And so a lot of times in our traditional classroom, we're focusing on that first part, what do students know? This competency work is really going to move that focus to that second part, and what are students able to do? You can have all the knowledge in the world, but if you can't apply it to a real-world situation and solve a problem, that doesn't help you as much. So that's where this competency-based work is, in my mind, is really headed, is to focus on the second part of that. What do we want students to know, and what are they able to do?
And next we'll hear from Will Schultz of Will AM Radio.
Yes, Mark Schultz at WILL. Thank you for the conference call. This is for the state superintendent. You're asking for $2.2 million to fund this program in fiscal year 2019. What was your funding for fiscal year 2018, the current year? So basically, how much you're getting this year and how much you're at compared to how much you're asking for next year?
Yeah, thank you so much for the question. We asked the General Assembly for $1 million to support the pilot. We did not receive any funding for this. So local communities have really stepped up. This has been a community of practice and education leaders who said this is important and really figured out in their own communities and contexts what kinds of supports they could create. And at the state agency, Mary Reynolds has been fantastic in terms of really connecting the different parts of our organization and trying to create a support network. And then we've had pretty remarkable partnerships from other states and regional education labs to step up and provide coaching and really see this as a state taking leadership and putting it in state policy and as different than individual districts. So those folks have really stepped up, but we've had zero specific funding to support this.
Next, we'll hear from Craig Delamore of WBBM Radio.
And thank you for doing this. Because I'm in the Chicago area, I do want to hear a little bit from officials from Round Lake and Proviso. And essentially, one question that should go for both of you, and that is, give an example of something that you are able to do under this program that you couldn't do under the old model of how you're educating kids.
I'll jump in. This is Susan Center from Round Lake. So I would say that one of the biggest things that we're able to do under this program that we couldn't do under the current model is provide additional flexibility for students in terms of them deciding their own learning pathway. So traditionally, there are state requirements for graduation, and you heard Williamsfield mention earlier that they're able to modify those graduation requirements to make them more unique to students and to help them get through the program in a way that is most effective for each student. The other thing I would say is for us, in terms of time, what we've been able to do is when students have demonstrated mastery on the different competencies in each class, students are able to do alternative work. Either they can head to the library and work on an English paper. They could go and do some additional tutoring if they want to. They can support other students in the class, or they can go